B-Pod Studios.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Radio. To listen to the full episode, go to checkpointxp.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Robbie Landis from Checkpoint XP, and I am joined here by three amazing people from the Houston Outlaws who just got done with a weekend of spooktacular streaming. I am joined by the Partnerships Account Manager, Sarah, as well as Main Tank, Muma, and DPS and Hitscan Extraordinaire, Linkser. Everyone, welcome, and thank you for giving me some of your time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Much appreciated.
So, Sarah, I understand that you were actually one of the brains behind bringing this event, the spooktacular Streamathon to life. So can you give us a little bit of info on the event and how it came to be?
Yeah, sure. So I am one of the brains that helped bring this to fruition. So just a little bit about the event and how it came to be. So Gamers Outreach came to us with this opportunity. Essentially, we would be hosting a charity stream on behalf of the Houston Outlaws, raising money for Gamers Outreach's Project Go Kart. So these go karts are portable gaming systems that are preloaded with games and consoles that can easily be cleaned and ported into hospitals. So especially right now with COVID, you know, this is the main form of entertainment for a lot of children. So we really felt like this would be a great initiative to dive into providing video games to kids in hospitals right now. So, you know, moving forward with the event, one of the goals in 2020 for our wonderful partner HEB was to explore the Twitch platform and essentially what they could do on Twitch. So we presented the opportunity to HEB and they were absolutely ecstatic about it, just as a way to kind of dip their foot into what would a charity stream be like if HEB was involved. So, you know, they were really excited about it. They wanted to move forward with it. And so HEB was our presenting sponsor of our Streamathon event. What that means is, you know, we established branding across all of our promotion on social media. They had logos on all of the streaming assets across all streams. And then as well as HEB helped along with donations, they actually donated well over 3,500, I believe. So, you know, they're a big proponent of making this stream happen. And then as well as provided snacks to all of our players for the entire day of streaming. We started at 10 a.m. and I believe Linkser ended it out at midnight. So that's a little bit of how this event came to be. And overall, it aligned perfectly. And that's how we were able to launch this initiative.
So, Muma, this is actually the second charity stream in just a few weeks that you've been able to help out with since you also joined Checkpoint for their Pride in September event. Can you tell us a little bit about why efforts like these are important to you in the community?
It's just fun to be able to, like, you know, help and give back, especially like the first one we did with the Pride in September. You know, being one of the, like, a openly gay Overwatch League player, it's kind of cool to just, like, be able to do something special for that. And, like, representing a charity that's as awesome and helpful as the Trevor Project was, like, really cool, because I know people who have, like, personally dealt with them and, like, interacted with them, and I know how helpful it is for people. So just being able to, like, do these things and, like, give back to the community that has gave so much to me is, like, it's just really nice.
Now, Linkser, you had actually this weekend also participated in the Widowmaker 1v1. Congratulations on the win, by the way. Before jumping into this streaming-thon, and you raised over $3,500, how did you have the energy afterwards to be able to jump into a streamathon like this, and how was the experience overall?
Talking about the Widow 1v1 experience?
Yeah, after doing that and then going into the Streamathon, like, overall, how was that experience, you know, in one weekend having to be in front of so many people?
I mean, I guess for me, it was like it was fun, because usually during off-season, we don't have that many things going on for us, I guess. Mm-hmm. So kind of being able to feel like a productive member of society wasn't bad. And then I had with the Streamathon, for the Spooktacular project, I had a lot of fun playing with Blasé. Mm-hmm. And we played Overwatch, we played The Forest, we played Phasmophobia. So we had a lot of different activities that we wanted to do, and I think that kind of helped give me some energy to keep going, alongside with eating tons of HEB pretzels.
So, Sarah, you're no stranger to working in gaming and esports. You've actually worked with some of the top organizations, both in gaming and esports, Rooster Teeth, South by Southwest, Gen G. So what is it about working with the Outlaws that stands out from these other orgs that you've been a part of?
So I would have to say, for the most part, the Outlaws are innovative and they're dreamers. So we've worked on quite big projects, such as the Lone Star Challenge, which was actually the first local TV deal for esports in this region. So that was a huge event that we accomplished all during COVID, all online, all virtual. That was an extremely big effort that we were able to accomplish. And then as well as we're able to work with other teams and organizations very well. So for example, we put together the Zaxby's virtual tailgate and watch party event with Florida Mayhem. So we're able to accomplish and be innovative on, you know, bringing these events that would be in person and bringing them to life in a virtual landscape, which I find extremely valuable, especially right now with COVID. And I think that's something that's really setting the Outlaws apart. The broader network that we have access to under the Beasley Media umbrella, I feel like that really sets us apart from the competition and what we're able to do and what we're able to accomplish.
Now, Lynx, you had just mentioned playing Phasmophobia on stream, you know, being able to play the forest with Blase. So this question is for both you and Mooma. Is it nice to be able to step away now that we're in the off season, you know, step away from Overwatch for a brief moment and play games that are non-competitive?
I mean, for me, even during the season, sometimes I play games that are non-competitive, like different party games or just games with friends or games that I played for a long time, just to have like a little bit of balance in like my day-to-day, I guess, when it comes to gaming. So, but during the off-season, maybe I feel way more free about it. So it's not like I'm doing it to balance my work. It's more like I'm doing it for fun. So yeah, it's definitely fun to do different games sometimes.
I don't know. For me, there's like very few games that I play that I like don't play them in a very competitive mindset. I've just like always been, even since I was a kid, I've like always been really competitive and like really, really, I try to turn like everything into a competition. I don't know how healthy it is, but I mean, that's what I've always done. So. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Well, that's something that we share in common, Mooma. Sarah, you know, despite being partnered up with one of the most popular teams in Overwatch League, and obviously Mooma and Lynxer and Blase all have tremendous star power behind them, you actually raised the most money out of all four of you that stream, you know, a total of $11,188. You had raised $3,730 with Lynxer coming in behind you, just $10 short at $3,720, Mooma at $1,456 and Blase at $1,125. Now, obviously, we're all a team here. This is not a competition, but that felt good, right? Being able to come in with the most money.
Yeah, so even though it was only by $10, I feel like my biggest success here has been with community engagement. My community, and you know, I started streaming in March, and one of my biggest enjoyments that I found since I started streaming was building a community. I never thought I would ever be as interested in building a community, but it's probably been one of my favorite parts about starting streaming. And you know, my community is very supportive of one another, and in turn, they're very supportive of me and my efforts with the Houston Outlaws. I've kind of brought them in to be a Houston Outlaws fan under and by my streaming. So, you know, keeping them informed of exactly what's going on, what's happening, like we have exciting projects coming. I'm so excited to involve y'all. And just reiterating how important this stream is to me really helped them invest their support. And, you know, just the amount of love and support I got from my community from that event was absolutely amazing. I had some community members coming in for their birthday, dropping immediately $250. And like,
wow.
It's only like 10:02 and like we're already halfway to our goal. I had to set back my goals like a few times, actually, so I could keep on with the stream and not be sticky. I got a few whipped cream pies to the face, but no, it's for the kids, man. But, you know, also taking into my Gen G social media background, I knew how to promote this event. So, of course, promoting it on social media, constantly promoting it in streams leading up to the event of exactly what's going on. I just inviting my community to come to that stream knowing it's at 10 in the morning and that's not normal gamer hours. But, you know, the amount of support and love I was shown from my community was tremendous. And then as well as having family and friends stop in, they don't really understand gaming, but they came to support me, which it was honestly so incredible to see. And then, you know, just I started personally streaming because I wanted to understand the needs and wants of content creators, but also to understand and better understand how to integrate partners into something like this. So it kind of became my own experiment. So I really wanted to show and prove that I knew how to integrate a sponsor and do it well, which I think this entire event was a complete success. Our goal initially was to raise $3,500, which is equal to one go-kart creation, which we had to keep increasing our goal initially. So we ended up tripling the amount that we initially thought we would raise. So I think that's beyond incredible.
Yes. Well, congratulations. It was a phenomenal success all around. Are there any final words or messages from each of you that you'd like to give to anyone else looking to get themselves involved?
I would just have to put it out there that, you know, our Houston Outlaws link will be available until the end of October. So if anyone out there wants to continue helping us raise money for more go-karts for the kids, they can check out tiltify.com and check out Gamers Outreach Spooktacular campaign, or find us at tiltify.com/+Houston-Outlaws-Houston-Outlaws-Spooktacular-Screamathon.
All right. Well, Sarah, Muma, Linkster, thank you all for all of your help. And a special thank you to Blase as well, who also participated in the Spooktacular Streamathon.
Thank you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.